Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the Unified Trust Under the Hood podcast, where we attempt to unpack, uncover, and illuminate financial planning and investment-related topics. I am your host, Kevin Avent, Managing Director of the Wealth Management Group here, and I'm excited to bring to you this podcast today about the CARES Act, short for Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. Probably most of you have heard of this already, I assume, but we have a couple of guests joining us. One, Mr. John Deglow, one of our fiduciary investment advisors. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, Kevin.
And we have a special guest today, actually our first guest outside of the Unified Trust walls. Lyle Hanna, who is the founder and president of Hanna Resource Group, and they provide a consulting and corporate human resource management services to a number of different small, medium businesses, and probably large as well in the area and beyond. And so we wanted to bring Lyle on to give a unique perspective today about, this particular issue of the CARES Act and what it means for small business owners. So we really appreciate Lyle joining us. And then one thing I didn't realize in looking at Lyle's bio, he actually has a award named after him, the Lyle Hanna Spirit Award by the Society of Human Resource Management here in Kentucky. So Lyle, I feel honored that you're our special guest to begin with, but now I don't know. I feel like we're in rarefied air when you've got somebody on your podcast that has an award named after him. That's a whole nother level.
Well, Kevin, you're kind to have me on here. I'm looking forward to it. And I usually just say to people that that was actually named after my dad, and then we just go on. that wouldn't be accurate exactly, but, it's been an honor to be involved with the human resource profession for many years. And this award is kind of cool. It recognizes outstanding HR people in the whole state. People across the state get nominated and there's somebody recognized every year. And boy, you look at that list and it's like who's who in HR across the state. So I'm proud to be associated with all those folks. So it's been going on for 15 years or something.
Well, it's quite an acknowledgement, and what you won't say, I know, because you're humble, but what you won't say is that the reason why is because of your active volunteerism in the community, the reason why you received that. And another thing that you've done that you probably won't say is that you started the Best Places to Work Award for this area of Kentucky, and that's something that is very, very popular, and it's for large, medium, and small businesses. And we actually participate in that as well and have been fortunate enough to get on that list and ranking. And maybe having you on this podcast, maybe we can move up a couple spots, huh?
That's funny. And I'll see what I could do. But actually, that thing is such a blast, and it has grown so well. But, I actually started it, and we're the first state to do it. So I got a company to do it for us, to do all the numbers. And they now are doing this in 78 places around the world. 28 states have programs. If I had had your all's advice, your great financial advice years ago, I would be running that company and not my consulting firm, because they have done so well with that whole concept. But my number two person is the number two, back then, is the number two person running it now, and they're having a ball. And it's recognized companies just all over, literally around the world. It's really grown, and it's a lot of fun. So
that's
I'm glad to have had a hand in launching it or something.
That's great. Well, thanks again for joining us today to talk about the CARES Act. And as I mentioned, obviously, I think everyone probably has heard about this. In fact, we sort of delayed doing this podcast a few weeks, thinking that there was going to be another round of CARES Act Part 2 coming. And then, of course, that's been delayed. But I still think this is a very relevant topic for people right now. And I really am interested to hear your perspective again from more of this out in the field, boots on the ground, listening to small business owners and some of the challenges they're facing. But my understanding is, I think, Lyle, I'll start with, since this has been going on, sort of the pandemic started, There's a lot to deal with if you're running a business and if you're also an employee of that business. But you've had, given that you're in your position, you've had weekly briefings with HR managers. Is that right? Is that something that you've started since COVID?
Every Monday, 21 weeks now. So you back that up and you're in March. So we started early and we just did it because we thought, well, we've got things to share. So we did it one Monday and we thought, well, we didn't cover it all. Let's do it a second Monday. And of course, every week things change so dramatically. It was like starting over. So now we're 21 weeks into it and it's been a blast. We have, you know, this Monday we had 135 people or something. We've had almost 200, you know, for one. We had the governor on one time. But we've had Andy Barr on four times, and we've had John Garmuth from Louisville, congressman, on, and we've had the head of the health department and the head of unemployment and lots of executives. Like 2 weeks ago, we had the head of Toyota to talk about what they're doing, and we're just getting people to share their stories. How can you help these employers handle the many, many things that you have to face when you've got COVID in your town? So it's turned out to be really helpful, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. So it's kind of neat.
I bet. What are some of the key takeaways that you're hearing and learning from those weekly briefings?
Well, you know what? Hey, before I say that, I want to get a word in about this. You got a chance to do an advertisement. I want to say how honored I am to be on the Unified Trust call here, because you know, I've actually done HR work for you guys, so I know you inside out. And in fact, I got to know you so well that I shifted all of my resources over to you recently. And I'm working with John. He's being pretty quiet on this call, but I know he's got a lot to say when it comes to where you ought to put your money and how you ought to invest in a way to make money. So you guys do a great job at that, and so I'm just honored to be on here with you.
That's why I went to John, Lyle. I thought that you would have a unique perspective on what's really happening out there. I know we've been watching on the news, but, you know, what's really happening? You're plugged into all these small business owners. What are you seeing?
Well, gee whiz, you know, they are dealing with all of these things from PPP. So that's, you know, the money. First of all, we were telling them how to go get some money. So because they didn't know what they were facing down the road. Were they going to have employees, not have employees, or were their clients going to pay their bills? I mean, there's so many challenges out there. So we really helped them get lined up to get with their banks and their financial institutions and get signed up for some PPP money. So that was a starter. But then we had to help them figure out unemployment. If you're going to lay people off, what does that mean? If you're going to keep them, is there money to help with that? And of course, there are a lot of resources for helping keep people. But if you lay them off, you got to coach them on getting unemployment. Most people have never even signed up for that. And, you know, when this started, we had about 30,000 people a year in Kentucky filing for unemployment. And we had 300,000 the first month applying for unemployment. So you think about a small business, if you had 30,000 in a year, so, you know, a couple of thousand a month, right? So maybe four in a busy month or something. And then all of a sudden you have 300,000 walk in. You know, they just couldn't handle it. It was bad. So what we helped mediate that, and we worked with the governor's office, and some of you know Jim Gray, and our Lexington mayor. He helped us with it because he was on the mayor's committee on it. Anyway, a lot of little things like that we worked with. So that's a start there, John. Shall I carry on?
Yeah.
Some additional things that have been really tough just had to do with, what are you going to do with your employees? First of all, can you get them, if you've let them off for a while, how do you get them back? And that's a challenge because some of them make so much money on unemployment, they didn't really want to come back. But honestly, if you are told that your job is available again, you're not supposed to get unemployment anymore. But the system is so backed up, that didn't really work very well. People kept getting the money. So it's been hard for some employers to get their employees back. And that's one of the things that's kind of gummed up the works in Washington right now. They don't want to pay people so much that they won't work. That's terrible because we need them back at work. Many, many right. employers now, you know, are trying to get their engines going again. And some of them never even let people go. And they had to kind of then fight that thing about the employees saying, well, I'd make more money if you just lay me off. Please lay me off, you know. And there were some ways they could get off by taking care of their kids and that kind of thing. And some people played a lot of games to do that. But what we're trying to do is coach employers on how to stay legal, how to be the best employer they can be, and keep their doors open. And So we think, we know we've had a big impact on that. When we do those calls, we, a quick estimate would say we were talking to people that managed 50,000 or more employees throughout Central Kentucky. And like on the call the other day, we had people actually from 43 cities. Most of them were Kentucky, but we also had people on the call from Texas, Kansas, Florida, and Georgia, which is kind of weird.
Wow.
But we don't, you know, that's because they're dealing with the same things in those communities, and we actually work in some of those communities. So, you know, they're dialing in for help.
Well, I know, Kentucky, the unemployment, you know, office has been criticized pretty widely in the press because a lot of these folks have not been able to get the aid that they needed in a timely fashion. I assume it, when you're on these calls and in the reach of all these other states, I assume, just like you said, the volume that hit Kentucky also hit some of these other states. Aren't they experiencing a lot of the same problems?
Oh yes, a lot of them. I have a son that lives in Southern California, and he's applied 3 times and still hasn't had a proper response. They sent him a check once, but they not. But it's really odd. So they're California, you know, it's a big state. You think it's well run, and but you know this part's not working so well. So we're not alone.
Well, but, I just saw this morning where I think there was 50,000. I think that was the number I saw. John, you might have seen this. 50,000 stimulus checks that should have been mailed out that never got mailed out. I guess because they, some people thought they didn't, or I guess the government thought that they were not supposed to go to those people or they didn't qualify, but in fact they did. So they were just mailed out this week.
Well, great. So maybe mine is finally on its way.
I've been waiting on mine too. Lyle, you gave us some general overview. I know that you're plugged in a little bit more than we are to some of these smaller businesses. Can you give us an example? You don't have to mention names if you don't want to, but can you give us an example of how the CARES Act actually kept the doors open and kept people employed? Maybe take a particular business that you're familiar with and how it probably would have gone under without some help.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, there are some businesses that they didn't have revenue. You know, they had to close their doors, but they didn't want to lose their employees because they figured they'd get back to it, you know, at some point. So this way they could actually hang on to their employees and they could actually use that time to have them develop product and do things that would. So when they could, you know, officially get back to selling their goods, they had it ready to go. So that's kind of an interesting thing. There are also some other funny things that have happened, you know. There are people in town that have started a thing to help get meals out to kids. You know, one thing that really scared me was even in Fayette County, more than half the kids are on school lunches. And some of them, that's their main meal of the day. In fact, when they're home on the weekends, we started finding out that when they came in on Monday, they were weak and slow because they weren't getting enough food over the weekend. So that's where Blessings in a Backpack came from, because a guy, an investment manager actually, over in Louisville, came up with this idea to pack up backpacks and let those kids that won't have the kind of food they need at home have it over the weekend. But you know what? So what happened was we used some of this federal money to put food service workers whose restaurants weren't open to work packing lunches, packing up food for people, and delivering it to kids around the community. So that's kind of just a one-off, but isn't that an interesting thing to have happen? And isn't that a good thing? So we put people to work that whose jobs weren't available anymore, and we were feeding people that needed to be fed in our communities.
Well, that's great. That's the kind of stories that we need to hear more of, you know. I mean, I'm glad that you just told us that, and I was not aware of it, but I sure wish I would have heard about that in the media before you just talked about it here on our podcast, because that's a heartwarming story in a year of heartbreak. I mean, this is such a difficult year for so many people, and any kind of glimmer of hope and positivity should be latched onto, because there's so many things you know about this year that are difficult and challenging for people on many, many levels. And so it's good to hear stories like that. And I'm sure you probably have others that are in there too. And you know, one thing I'm curious about is, what are you doing, or maybe what are employers doing now and have been since the pandemic that they didn't do, or what are some of the things that you're doing for them or with them now that you didn't do previously?
Well, okay, great question. And it's kind of a long-winded answer, but I'm going to try to take it in pieces because there are a lot of things they're doing that they have to do these things to make a difference. And part of it is keeping the confidence of their employees. So think about this for a minute. Employers need to act in a different way to convince their employees to come back and to stay at work. And part of it is acting so positively about the fact that they care about the employee. They're going to keep a clean environment. They're going to try to keep other people that have COVID-19 out of the workplace so the healthy employees aren't infected. And if you don't do those things well, then even the families don't want their husbands and their wives and their kids to come to work, you know? So that's changed the role of HR. And like one of my close buddies is the risk manager for Walmart. And I don't think he'd mind me telling this story, is that you think, you know, Walmart, big outfit. He's in charge of risk management for the whole state of Kentucky. So he had to go figure out, how am I going to keep all of my employees safe and how am I going to keep all of my customers safe? You know, for the employees, they started testing them and they came in the door. But, you know, the test is not, the only test was, you know, asking them about 6 or 8 questions. You know, are you feeling bad? Are you, you know, have you had a fever? And then actually taking their temperature. But we all know now that you can seem perfectly healthy, feel great, not have a temperature, and be a carrier right now. I mean, that's what the infectious disease folks are telling us, you know. So, but still, those things at least get most people. They catch most people before they get to work. But then, you know, everybody had to put up plexiglass. So you got to find a plexiglass provider, figure out where you should put that. You got to start cleaning things on a regular basis. And you got to teach your employees how to clean things on a regular basis. And we've had people say, look, you need to get your CEO out there. People need to see your CEO doing this so they know it's serious. Because there is a lot of garbage information about there that, you know, it's just a fad, or it's going to go away, or when it gets hot, it's going to, I don't want to get too political here, but, you know, this thing is not as dangerous as it really is. And what you got to do is you got to have the senior people showing that it matters to keep the place clean, that it matters to wear a mask when you're there and stuff. There's so much odd information about the masks, but, you know, in other countries, the only way they fought this thing is by 3 things: wear masks, keep distance from people. And we used to say 3 feet, but 6 makes a lot more sense. And when they do the test, you can see 6 really improves your chances of not getting something from somebody. And then the last one is keeping things clean, you know, and that turns out that's not as serious as we originally thought it was. At least that's what we think now. So in HR and management, you got to have a hand in all those things. And not just HR, because we got to have management, you know, help them make all those things happen. So there's a long-winded answer, but it's just changing the way business runs each day.
I guess you're seeing a lot more Zoom video, those kinds of things, conference people can start driving, flying, and that kind of thing. But I think everybody's probably aware of that. But so far, those you know, video conferencing seems to be working. Is that what you're finding for most businesses? Yeah.
Absolutely. It is working well. I'll give you a fun, positive story about that. You know, I've got quite a few clients that they didn't really like people working at home. You know, people, you know, how some people are saying, oh, let's get it to where we can work at home on Fridays, or, you know, one day a week or one day a month, you know, and people were just totally resistant to it. And I had several clients that were just total naysayers on working from home. And after about 3 months, I was talking to them, they're going, it's kind of amazing. We're getting projects get done that we couldn't get done for 3 years. We couldn't get those crazy projects done. And now they're getting done because nobody's wasting any time around the water cooler. Nobody's taking a smoke break. No, you know, there's a flip side to this, but I'll tell you that in a minute. But the upside is you wake up, your phone goes off, you're starting to work because they're text messages and emails. It's hard to get out of bed some days, because there's so much work to do before you even get up and wash your face. So it's surprised some people. And I'll tell you what, I've got one large client, 100 employees, they're based in Frankfurt. It's a big time. Everybody in this state, everybody on this call would know who this is, a professional association. And they're not working in the office anymore. A couple of them go in a few times a week to do this and that, and things they have to check out or get mail or whatever. But all of them are working from home. Even the CEO is working from home. And it's working well. So it's kind of a unique, it's going to change some things.
Any downside to that?
Well, One of my clients is the largest commercial property manager in central Kentucky. And he's debating, is this going to be upside because people need more space? I didn't mention this, but, you know, when you fix up the workplace, you got to add more space for people. You can't have a small little conference room for people to eat in or to work in. And you got to have more space for people to sit in, you know. But on the other hand, if half your population is working from home from now on, how much space are you really going to need? I mean, you know, I'm afraid it's going to be a regular thing, that it's working so well that more people are going to work from home. I shouldn't say I'm afraid of that. Just from the perspective of office space, I think it's going to reduce the demand for office space going forward.
Right. Yeah. You're afraid as a, if you were a commercial real estate owner.
Well, if I was in a REIT, would that matter?
Yeah.
You guys know better than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Office space may not be in as much demand, but I don't want to.
It seems like
you've got an expert on that.
Yeah. It seems like what these office space owners are going to, you know, big buildings, especially that are just offices, it seems like what they're going to have to do is adapt their spaces, you know, take out all the offices or the cubicles, and essentially now I think make a space that's a much larger space that people can come and commune and have, you know, once a week or once a 2 weeks or once a month, all in one spot, and commune together in that way, you know, when it's acceptable to mm-hmm. do that, obviously. It seems
right.
like that's going to have to, like, they're going to have to refit up their spaces now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. So, you know what? There are a lot of call centers in central Kentucky, and you can't put four people in a cubicle anymore. So what they've had to do is make that cubicle a space for two people, put plexiglass down the middle, and then add a whole nother one for the other two people. I mean, that's just one little example. I mean, some places, I bet you it's a lot worse than that. But I have a spouse in my office that runs a very prominent call center in Lexington. He's been working 24/7 just to try to figure out how to keep people safe and spread them out. And, you know, that gets back to that whole thing I was talking about. You got to make people feel safe at work or they won't want to be at work. And there are lots of ways.
Kevin, it sounds like we should have bought a plexiglass company.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We have a friend that had a plexiglass machine. I mean, he had a whole shop, but he really hadn't ever used it much. I must have come with he bought a business and that was just a part of it, you know, that they didn't use. And holy smokes, he looked, you know, woke up one morning and found out he's doing the plexiglass for a whole school system in Eastern Kentucky. And it's just like, he's minting money.
Yeah.
Minting
boat companies and campers and bikes. You know, you can't find a bike. You can't find a boat.
Yeah.
You can't find a camper unless you already have one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm trying to buy kayaks, and the ones that I want are on back order till November.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This is what we're going to rely on you guys for. Tell us which companies are going to be in high demand. And actually, I noticed John's already off to a good start with me on that. So, John, the reason I keep talking about you, John, is because I'm going to set the bar so high you're going to have to work all the time to make good money.
Well, I've been...
The market has certainly come roaring back. So it's we've had some wind in our sails lately.
Yeah.
I've been teasing John that, you know, you mentioned, Lyle, that productivity has not necessarily dropped in your experience here in your survey of some of the employers you work with. And
right.
And I would say, you know, I'm happy to report in our group, I would agree with that. I think our productivity has been very, very good, and especially in the face of a very challenging year. And I've been teasing with John. He's had a very good year. And I said, you know, this has been a terrible year for almost everybody I know, except for you. You seem to really are thriving in 2020. And John, what was your reply to that?
Well, I keep don't expect it next year. I don't know. What did I say? I know I'm an introvert, so I
yeah,
know I'm probably dealing with staying at home probably a little bit better.
I think your quote, exactly, your quote was, well, this is an introvert's dream.
I think this was the introverts started all this to get back at the extroverts.
Yeah. Well, Lau, I have another question, and that is,
okay,
do you think with everything, obviously with the virus and the emphasis on benefits, is this going to change the equation for employers and how they recruit and how they advertise the attractiveness of the position, more so on benefits, less so on pay. I mean, obviously, I understand it's always comp driven, but it seems like the pendulum may be swinging a little bit more to the health and wellness and the benefit side, less so on the actual compensation side because of this climate that we're in now.
Well, you're making a good observation, because I don't know that we're ever going to slack off on pay entirely. You know, it's still a hot box. And it's interesting. We do a lot of compensation work. We straighten out compensation for large organizations and small ones. But, you know, we're doing that every day, and we're seeing numbers go up during this time, which is kind of surprising. But benefits, definitely more attention on that. And people are having to go back and say, all right, so one of the ones that's getting a lot of attention is employee assistance programs, EAPs. You know, they just kind of, like, a lot of people have them. Nobody ever talks about them. But let me just say something about this. The fact is, EAPs, you know what that is, Employee Assistance Program, helps you with mental health challenges or personal financial challenges. It's really like a personal coach or, counselor to help your employees through difficult times. And this is creating a difficult time. I talked about the productivity being up when people are working at home, but there's also a downside, and that is that people were just working themselves silly. You know, they didn't know when to stop. You started when the alarm went off. I mentioned 7 a.m. the alarm goes off and you start taking messages, and they're still working it, you know, at 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. at night, because, you know, you don't have to pack it up and get in your car and go home. You're already home. So grab a bite to eat and you go on. So people are overworking, okay? And so I want to say something about efforts that companies are making to help fight that. But one of them is they're stepping up, and more people are using employee assistance programs and reminding their employees that they have them in some cases, because they do provide good counseling and guidance. But they're also doing some other special things these are kind of benefits, but they're unusual. So I've got a client that while their employees were off, they were packing up goodie bags and sending them home, and they knew who had kids and who didn't. So they were, you know, if you had three kids, you got three bags of stuff, you know. And one of the tricks we've done is we're still having, weekly calls with our employees, just Zoom calls. But we also do we've done a happy hour quite a few times. And one time I sent pizzas to everybody, surprised them. And, you know, Papa John's is everywhere. So I just had them deliver Papa John's to their house that afternoon before the call. So, I mean, that's just, there are a lot of things like that that are going on, where people are sending desserts and salads and fruit and, you know, baskets to their families and stuff, just to keep them either engaged in the work they're doing or keep them interested while they're home. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And that's great that you did that. And have you, when you do your Zoom meetings or Zoom calls, does everyone actually turn their camera on? Is that kind of a company policy, or maybe policy is a strong word, but it's highly suggested that you have your camera on so you sort of feel connected? Because that's one thing I know that we have talked about, you know, at a management level, is can we require people to turn their video camera on? Because it sure feels like you're more connected when you can see that person. And obviously when it's been months, when you haven't seen them, and everyone else can participate as well. And how are you handling that, or how are you seeing people handle that?
Okay. That is a great question. And it's like people are afraid to talk about it for some reason, but I am totally in favor of turning cameras on, because I think it does. Like, you remember better when you see somebody say something, or, you know, a lot of people need to see things to help learn, remember them. And I think when you see people smiling and you can read their, their attitudes and stuff, that's just really valuable. So especially when we're doing our happy hours, everybody on our team puts on their cameras. I still do a lot of calls. We do that big Monday call, and most of them don't ever see each other. So I've actually instituted something new, and I picked this up from Lexington Rotary. Lexington Rotary does all their meetings for Zoom, but the thing new is I'm having some time at the end of the call where everybody can turn on their cameras. We can unmute people and just let them talk to each other. And I got this from Rotary because at the end of the Rotary meeting, we started doing this. And it's really fun. Of course, you got a whole page of little pictures on there, but people are polite about it and they can still write private chats down below, or they can just speak up and say, hey, man, you're looking good. I'm glad you're on here, you know. And I think it's really a valuable thing to do. So I encourage everybody to turn their cameras on. Now, if you have to get up and get food or do whatever you know, something else is going on, I get it. You can go dark for part of the time, but primarily I think people, whether they're meeting or just having fun, ought to have your cameras on.
I agree with that. Of course, there are some the alternative horror stories that you hear where people are turning their, you know, they're not muting themselves, turning their camera on, and they don't even know it, and they're off doing other things, and you get to participate in all that. I've been a part of a couple of those, not actually Unified Trust related, and it's been, they're entertaining for sure.
I was on a call the other day, and the guy clearly was like, he was in a golf cart.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people on the call, and he left it on while he went to hit the ball. You could hear all in the back. He turned his sound off. I'm like, I wrote him a text saying, hey, bud, you know, we're trying to have a meeting here. We can tell you're playing golf.
Kevin, just to be clear, I haven't done that yet.
So my parents don't listen to this podcast. So I guess I can say what I'm about to say. My father's 83, my mother's 80. If she did listen to this podcast and she heard that, she would be highly upset. But so, you know, technology is a struggle. And whenever they have challenges, you know, my phone rings. So they tried to do a Zoom call. Actually, he's a member of an investment club. And the investment club has about 20 members in it, and they tried to do their first sort of trial Zoom call last week. And so he was really stumped in how to get on and log on and do it all. And so actually, I drove to his house, which is not just down the road for me, to help him and to set it up. It was better than a Saturday Night Live skit. I mean, it was fantastic. How these 20 people that were logging in all at disparate times, and some of them 30 minutes after the actual scheduled time for them to hold the call, because it took them that long to figure it out. And then they would all sort of, you know, when they see each other, they'd all say, hey, and scream at each other. And some of them, they were on mute, but they didn't know it. So they were screaming into their phones. You could tell they were trying to scream and just get louder, including my father who did that. So it was some good comedy. I'll say that. So yeah, I've been on the other side of those, but I agree with you. It's much better when you turn them on and you feel more connected that way.
Yeah. There's a learning curve, but I think the learning curve is worth it. And you know what? Having our older folks get accustomed to this technology is really important, because I don't know if you guys have relatives in nursing homes or elder facilities, but we do. And this is the only way we can communicate with them. You know, you can't go in there. So
right.
Boy, is it helpful if their staff will help them, you know, manage this stuff and learn to use it better. So.
Well,
the way to get them to sign up for that stuff is tell them that in order to communicate with their grandkids, they need to. So that's the only way that we got
exactly
my mom
right.
on texting or anything. Is she didn't care about talking to me, but the grandkids, oh, yeah, we got them signed up quick.
They're a lot better draw than we are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right. Amen to that. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, guys, as I say, just a lot of change going on. It's been fun to talk with you guys about it.
Yeah, no. So Lyle and John, I just wanted to say thank you both for joining me today, Lyle, especially for offering your insights. And so we've got some more potential stimulus coming maybe in the next, 30 days or so. And so we'd love to have you on. I mean, obviously a lot of the stories and the observations of what you shared with us today, that's probably going to be dramatically different even in 5-6 months time. So maybe we can have you on as a follow-up again in the future. But it's been a pleasure to hear these stories, and I think very helpful for certainly for me, and I think our listeners, to hear them. So thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll be back in touch with you next month.
Boy, Kevin and John, thank you very much, and I've enjoyed it.
Well, I have to putt now, so I have to go.
Yeah. I'll see you on the back nine.
All right, later.
I'll see you in the 19th hole.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Lyle.
All right, thanks,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye-bye.